We are the best kept secret in the universe. We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Our mission is to monitor extraterrestrial activity on Earth. We are your best, last, and only line of defense. We work in secret. We exist in shadow.
And we dress in black.
From the MPPs.
We're talking as you remember.
Na, 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 na. Hello, Now Playing listeners. This is Arnie, co-host of Now Playing. And in case somebody zapped you with a neuralizer, I wanted to remind you that a few years back, we reviewed the Men in Black retrospective series. Well, there's a new installment in that series, Men in Black International, that came out, Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, because I guess the casting director didn't go any further than Thor Ragnarok set, but it is out now, as is our review. Here's a clip from that review, and then I'll be back to tell you how to hear all of our Men in Black reviews in a moment. But this opening, I'm enjoying the location of the Eiffel Tower. I'm enjoying the jokes about the couple trying to get engaged and they get neuralized and he's like, propose again in an elevator. And then Hemsworth gets knocked down the elevator and then he's like, ask her again when you're on the ground. This is, I'm not laughing out loud, but I'm smirking.
I'm going with it thus far because we're only a couple minutes into the film. My question is, because it's going to become a big deal later on that H isn't the same ever since that thing in Paris. Is this supposed to be him? Because I wanted to see what he was supposed to be like. Again, show me, just don't tell me. And this is a horrible film if you want visual storytelling. I think that is the biggest failure of this film. Everything is just, like you said, Stuart, just mumbled under people's breath, and we're supposed to catch it.
Give me an example, Jacob. I don't...
Throughout the film, we're told, oh, what has happened to H? He's just not the same as he was. Well, show me him being a total badass in Paris. I don't see him being a badass. I see him falling down an elevator shaft and try to help people get married. Visually tell me that this person is different than when I first saw him.
Yeah, it's doublespeak. They'll tell us that what makes H so cool is what he did in this moment. And yet, at the same time, later people are like, you haven't been as good since the Hive. What does that mean? It means that this was the one time that he did anything great. And the fact that they cut away from it, all we see are some tentacles coming through a doorway. They're trying to disguise how obvious the twist is by obstructing what actually transpires here. But the most important thing you can do when you're introducing new characters is tell us something about them. Hemsworth is just going to coast on Thor. I'm the himbo that gets into comedic hijinks because my arrogance always puts me into harm's way and I do a pratfall. And he is just doing what he has done before without creating a new character. We're just to accept it as Hemsworth and not as some new H character.
I do think H stands for Hemsworth. I do see a couple Thor jokes here. Obviously, the hammer one you mentioned.
His whole attitude is Thor. He is playing Thor.
I disagree. I think he's playing something far more straight. I think he's trying to play... The reference I got was Brendan Fraser in the Mummy films, where he was an adventurer, but not quite as good as he thought he was, and yet very much a himbo who the women were swooning over.
Which is Thor. That's arrogance matched with pride that gets him into trouble. And then, you know, he's always the butt of the joke. He never gets to be cool in this film, much like the way they played Thor for a lot of his best movies, is that he is just ridiculous.
And yet, I've seen him do funny himbo. Again, Ghostbusters 2016.
I don't want to think about that film, and I consider none of it good.
Oh, okay, I thought he was very... He may have been the funniest part of that, and I think it was a lot of just weird improv that he was doing, and when he walks in with his giant cock in Vacation, is just swinging that thing around. It's funny. It's a crude joke, but he pulls it off because he can't embody that himbo mentality so well. I am shocked that I don't laugh at all at Hemsworth in this film.
Chris Hemsworth is a good comedic actor. I think that he's trying his best here. By saying that he's phoning it in, it means that he hasn't done any character work, or maybe there's nothing on the page to base it. It almost feels like, much like they talked about the original production, they're just making it up as they go along. This really is just a series of improv gags.
I don't know all the behind the scenes. There's been a lot of finger pointing that's happened once the box office came out. Like Monday morning, whereas they're usually announcing the sequel to get you to keep going back, this time it was the blame game. Mm. And there were things I'd never heard of. Of course, they said there were rewrites going on set and the director wasn't happy with the script. Something I'd never heard of before, though. Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson weren't happy with the script, and so each hired their own screenwriters to write their specific dialogue.
Well, fire them. They failed.
So anything they said was written for them by, like, one of their assistants because they didn't like the way their characters were written in the original script.
I'd give them more props if they did it themselves. The fact that they have to farm out their own lines. Usually actors know exactly how they want to come across, what they want to say. That's bad form on their parts. That makes me think less of them.
Yeah.
It makes me think less of Hemsworth as a comedian. I'll say that for sure. Because, like you said, Jacob, he's come off as funny in some of his roles. Now I know he is only funny if those words are put in his mouth.
You know that Will Smith was handed pages that didn't work in the previous movies and said, okay, I got an idea. And anybody on that set should have been able to have a better idea than what we're seeing.
You just have me picturing Will Smith going up to Chris Hemsworth and goes, you know what the difference is between you and me? I make this shit work.
I make it look good.
Let me meet you guys halfway. I don't see him being hugely heroic here. I do see him falling down the elevator shaft and we cut away. That is a little bit of an obvious what happened for the rest of it. I do think that telling it out of order is a little bit weird that we start in 2016, jump to 1996, and then jump to 2019. That's unnecessarily confusing. And I'll agree that when we're talking later on and people are like, oh, you've changed, I would like to know what has changed exactly. I would like to know how he's acting different. At one point, an alien is going to touch him and feel like telepathically, you are different. Well, what has made him different is not adequately spelled out. I put in the plot summary, he's resting on his laurels, but it could be when T neuralizes him at the end of this scene that we don't see. He changes his attitude. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's what it is, and I guess that again about halfway through the film after 300 characters have told us, man, you've really changed. I wish I could feel that change, but they're going to have every character that pops up on screen tell us that.
So this thing called a hive is coming, and if you're called a hive, I assume that you have a groupthink mentality and you co-opt everything you touch, and it seems to be a mass of tentacles that is falling to the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is important because it actually was the first extraterrestrial processing center. It was where we first started bringing in aliens into Earth.
Is this a retcon? I don't know what year they say the first migration was. They keep making a big deal about the first migration, but I went back to the first Men in Black to rewatch the exposition part about how they were established. 1961, some aliens showed up and met with 9 people, and that was the establishment of the Men in Black. And then the World's Fair, that's how they hid their alien ships. Eiffel Tower is older than 1961, so is this a retcon they're doing?
Yeah, I think by going international, they're not going to follow America's love affair with aliens. I mean, that really did start in the 40s and the 50s, and there's specific reasons to that. I mean, the location, there's a correlation between people seeing aliens and the military testing that was going on in Nevada at that time. Here, because America's just not as important anymore, they're expanding it. They're going with a recognizable icon, and Eiffel Tower puts it 100 years before all that.
Men in Black felt very American in the first trilogy. If we are going international, and it is said they've opened a London office, like something happened since we've seen Men in Black last, they've expanded. So I took this as the French history. I thought it was kind of clever to say Eiffel was actually a scientist and an extraterrestrial master, and that the tower wasn't just something, again, for the World's Fair in Paris, but to facilitate aliens.
Yeah, I wish they had gone further with that. I wish he was actually a character here. They could have kept him alive if he was an alien, or maybe he's just a human helping aliens. But I would have liked to see steampunk Men in Black. That would have been really cool to do. We do see a couple gears and stuff in this Eiffel Tower that implies that the technology is very old, pre-computer. I could have enjoyed a whole lot more of that in this movie.
I don't mind there being international Men in Black. It's just the Men in Black, that concept is very American. And so having it established in the U.S. and then yeah, then you have it spread, because aliens could be anywhere. We've had UFO and alien, supposed alien sightings everywhere around the world, so I wouldn't mind that. And you could establish the Eiffel Tower as opening portals to something, but we don't know what it's there for. It just felt a little weird to me that, oh, okay, this is international, so we gotta even take the origins away from the Americans.
So help me out. So the Hive does come. We cut away from tentacles coming through the doorway, but we can presume they grab tea. Why don't they continue to eat all of us? Why do they go away for 3 years to try it again later? Because it's better to have this mole in the MIB do something? If you'd like to hear that entire review, as well as reviews of all of the Men in Black shows we did, well, if you pledged to Now Playing way back when we did our Men in Black series originally, you're getting the Men in Black International show already. Anyone who donated during that donation drive, we've sent out emails, check your spam filter on how you can get this new show, as well as re-download all the previous Men in Black shows. If you didn't donate back then, head to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate and find out how you can hear all of our spring-summer 2019 bonus shows. We have brand new series covering Lethal Weapon, The Man with No Name, Once Upon a Time in America, and Once Upon a Time in the West, as well as 7 blockbuster films from 1989. And then we also have the Men in Black series, as well as the Child's Play series with the new installment coming out next week. The Peg Frost series, because Slaughterhouse Rules finally got released in the United States. So if you didn't donate to those series originally, you can get all of those podcasts now and help support our show. We have a lot of content coming out on our Totally Free Tuesdays. We've had a number of theatrical releases that we've reviewed. The new Pet Sematary, the new Hellboy, Avengers Endgame, Dark Phoenix, and we're keeping it up with a lot more theatrical releases. Annabelle Comes Home, Spider-Man Far From Home, Hobbs and Shaw, It Chapter 2, as well as It Chapter 1 and It the Miniseries, Rambo 5, and a little bit late, The Curse of La Llorona, plus other Stephen King reviews leading up to it, including The Mist and Mercy. Yes, that's Mercy, based on the Skeleton Crew show Grandma, not Misery. There is another film called Mercy. We're able to keep up this pace and do what we do all because of donations from listeners like you. We have no corporate sponsors. We have no advertisements on our shows. We have nothing that influences what we say other than our own views of film. And we're able to maintain this independence because we are completely crowdfunded. So if you can support the show, you can get over 40 bonus shows as part of our current donation drive, or you can join our patron campaign, pledge monthly, get another bonus show free every month, get another bonus show every month, and yes, hear our review of Men in Black 3. All the details plus the PayPal links are at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening to Now Playing every week, and we'll be back next week with not one, but 2 free shows, The Curse of La Llorona and Toy Story 4. Talk to you then.
Years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew that people were alone on this planet.
Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
Hey, is it worth it?
Oh yeah, it's worth it.
Now Playing's Men in Black theme is sung by Lydia West.
I understand that you're a little scared. I'm gonna keep it real with you. I'm a little scared too.
I'm not scared.
Me neither. I just thought we was bonding.
The Men in Black films are the property of Amblin Entertainment and Columbia Pictures. Now Playing is not affiliated with those entities and no infringement is intended.
I know by the book.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Inganza Media Incorporated.
The bitterest truth is better than the sweetest lie.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2019, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.
See you around, Jack.
No, you won't.